Hi, this is Yang Cho, a technology evangelist at Microsoft. I want to welcome you to another episode of Virtually Speaking. Now, the term Formula One, for many people, that means speed, racing, perfection of mechanical engineering, aerodynamics, performance. But perhaps not that many people recognize that behind the curtain, they are actually highly skilled IT professional with a whole set of IT practices to provide the driver the precision, the control, the reliability when he or she needs it. Now, if you think that's a setup to introduce the IS development manager of Lotus Formula One team, it is. With me online on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean is Mark Everest, who's the IS manager, development manager of Lotus Formula One team. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi, tell us a little bit about yourself and your exciting work.
Okay, so I've been working here in my current role for about 8 years. And as a department or as a section of the IS department, my team's made up of developers and testers. And we're responsible for developing all of the in-house applications that the team use. In fact, in all the areas that you discussed earlier. So anything to do with design and manufacturing, aerodynamics, as well as studying the car's performance.
Oh, great. You know, for Formula One, for me, it's like a dream to even just get close to it. I had the pleasure one time in Indianapolis, and that was at the, you know, in Indianapolis, Indiana, the whole month of May, it's about that Indy 500 race. And I had a chance to really get up close to a Formula One. And man, it felt like it's a very special moment. And I remember I look at those, the car, the shape, the spoiler, and it was just amazing. It was such a high-tech perfection. I actually call it, it's an art. It's not just a car, it's an art. It was just a wonderful experience. So for you to be able to work so close to it, you know, it's really, I bet it's pretty exciting experience, and every day go there and work on this piece of engineering that's just brings so much to our life.
Indeed it is. Sometimes I have to remind myself that where I am and what industry I'm working in. I was a fan before I came here, so it's like a dream job for me, really. But to come in every day and see the amount of effort and the amount of people that work exceptionally hard to do what we do is incredible to be part of that. Where the IS department is, there's a bridge over what we call the race bays, and that's where they build the cars between the events. So come in the morning, walk across the bridge, look down and see, all right, that car was on telly 2 days ago. It's quite a surreal experience, but also a very exciting one to be part of such a big and exciting industry.
Absolutely. Now, we talk about, you know, all those things that we know about Formula One and, you know, the racing, the high speed and all that. But you as an IS department manager, what's the IS goal in terms of your Lotus Formula One team? I mean, what's your goal? What are you trying to achieve?
So there's two sides to the IS department. There's the side that concentrates on keeping the lights on, so the infrastructure and operations. And that is the same as every other company, really. You have to have a network. You have to have things like Exchange, Office 365 we use. So they deal with supporting the team in terms of IT hardware and networking. And then my section, we focus on innovation through creating bespoke software applications that are used by all the members of the team. And that's really what we focus on.
I see. So I imagine if I think about this, so the Formula One is really highly sophisticated. It's a piece of engineering perfection, and so I imagine behind the scene, there's a, like you said, there's a whole set of IT practices, a whole IT department supporting all those computing and software that's supporting the car. That's very interesting, and also give us a different perspective, definitely. Mm-hmm. So what have you done in terms of, you know, your team supporting the Lotus Formula One team?
So the two areas that we work in is the factory domain is the first one, and that's anything to do with the design and the manufacturing of the car. So we're our software is involved at the very early stage from the conception of creating a part, running that part through a wind tunnel using models, using computational fluid dynamics, which is a simulated wind tunnel. So we don't have to manufacture a physical component to test that. We can do it in computer simulations. Then we have a design office approvals process that it's pretty much the same as in any other kind of design industry. So we create engineering change orders, which is like an example of what we're going to create and when we're going to create it for. So let's say we're going to have a new front wing for the Austin Grand Prix. So that's what we'd have a project. We'd go through an approval process there, which is to make sure that we can manufacture the part, that we've got the right technology and machinery here to do that. The part is then manufactured, so we do a lot of integration with ERP, with which we're using Microsoft Dynamics AX2012 on-premise. That ERP system is also used for all our stock control of all the parts of the car. They're tracked every time we go to the track. We take obviously two cars with us, a whole load of spares. We track which parts are used on the car every time the car leaves the garage, and we have a system that tracks the lifing of those. So, you know, parts are designed, it's not like a road car. We don't design a car for the whole year. We design parts to last potentially one or two races or even one weekend. So how the part's manufactured might have an impact on how much it's used. The other domain that we get involved in an awful lot is the performance. And this is providing platforms to the race engineers and the vehicle performance people that work here in Enstone. It's provide platforms for them to be able to do the kinds of things they want to do. So we do lots of integration with MATLAB, which is their tool of choice. Our engineers love using Excel because they can pull in large data sets and do whatever they want with it. We integrate with the telemetry that comes off the car. So when the car's going around the track, there's a whole stream of time series data being sent back to the garage in real time, and we help the engineers interpret that so they can understand what's happening on the car. And we also have systems that do things like predict race strategies. So looking at all the timing information for all the cars, so what lap times they're doing, what positions are in, what tyres have they got on. And we run thousands of race simulations every lap to try and predict the best time for our cars to come in and have their tyres changed, for example. So it's their platforms and tools to help the engineers understand what's going on the car. It doesn't make the decisions for them, but it makes their lives easier to make those decisions. And it's really important for us to have that information available to the users as quick as possible, because these guys are at the track and they're the ones who are in the thick of it, and they want their data straight away. They want the decision straight away, because if you wait, or if you maybe think twice about a decision, you could lose places, you could lose a race based on not having your data available straight away.
Wow. That's all? That's a lot.
Yeah, there's a few other bits we do, but yeah, that covers the majority of it. Yeah.
No, I heard something very interesting. I did not realize that. Did you say you actually simulate the wind tunnel? So you don't need to actually have a physical wind tunnel, and you use software or to simulate that?
That's right. So a few years ago, most teams just used to rely on using a wind tunnel. So the parts of the car that we make to run in the wind tunnel, they're not full size. They're only 60% of the real size, and that's there's regulations that are in place that enforce that. So we can't run a full size wind tunnel. So a few years ago, some teams were starting to build second wind tunnels. So I know when I started here, we run our wind tunnel 24/7. So we had three teams of people working on it the whole time. Slowly over the years, restrictions have come in place in the regulations to try and help reduce the cost of the sport for the smaller teams. And what a lot of people are doing, because there's now restrictions on the amount of time you can run a wind tunnel, we're using computational fluid dynamics, which is the study of liquid and more importantly for us, air flows over solid objects. Mm-hmm. So instead of having a second wind tunnel, we have a supercomputer cluster that's processing away the whole time, running simulation jobs for the engineers. Again, the amount of compute power we're allowed to use is restricted by regulations, so we have to trade off how many hours we want to run in the wind tunnel against how many teraflops of processing we want to do at any one time.
Wow, you know, that's fascinating, because you know, I see immediately how IT, or you know, the information technology or information system actually contribute to the overall time to market, the cost factor of it, that's amazing. And also the portability, I imagine. I mean, there's got to be a lot of integration, because the way you describe the whole life cycle, the whole process, just so sophisticated. So I imagine you must have faced many, many challenges in terms of integration, or, you know, to deliver to how you can kind of interpret all this data that's coming in at you, and how you make a timely decision, how you provide the vital information to the driver. Tell us all those challenges that you have faced.
So I think one of the biggest challenges we faced in the past is around the rate of our software deliveries. So when I first started here again, we very much followed a waterfall kind of model. And that does fit in well in some industries. In fact, the industries I'd worked in the past, that fit quite well. The issue here, and it's obviously the same with a lot of companies, is that our users want things done a lot quicker than what we can provide in a waterfall model. So we have typically a two-week turnaround of software releases. Now, this is especially good for this industry because it's the same for manufacturing parts for the car. You know, we have a very fast turnaround. Somebody comes up with an idea for a new piece of bodywork, we'll simulate it in CFD, we'll build a model to run in the wind tunnel, we'll go through all the design office process, we'll manufacture that part. Now, that could be in the space of a few weeks, because we want to get these parts as quick as possible on the car to get a competitive advantage. So us as an IT department, fitting in with the demands of the rest of the team is incredibly important. So that's why our systems have to be performant and available always for the users to be able to do their jobs.
Wow. So what kind of tools you have, I wonder? And also, when you talk about, you know, the turnaround time and all that, it appears like DevOps can be very relevant to you to this kind of work.
Absolutely. We've in terms of tools that we use, most of our development is Microsoft.NET. So we adopted C# as our primary language a few years ago. We use the same tools and technologies that a lot of other companies do. So we build WPF applications. We still use some WinForms. We haven't got into mobile too much, but that's something that we're starting to do more recently. So again, Microsoft.NET based, SQL Server. We use WCF. We're starting to look at using WebSockets for transferring high amounts of data. Integration, we use BizTalk, especially with Dynamics AX, because that creates a nice level of segregation between our custom-built applications and the kind of generic view that AX gives us. So yeah, we use a lot of the same tools that other companies do. It's just we maybe apply them in a slightly different way, or in a different industry maybe.
You know, as a Microsoft employee, it's really, it's very excited to hear you said .NET, C#, SQL Server, because I feel right now fast and furious now.
Yeah.
But what about DevOps? Can you share us with us? I mean, does DevOps relevant to your work?
Absolutely, yeah. So this is something, again, we started looking at maybe a year ago. So it's a terminology that had been around for a little while, and I think I didn't necessarily understand what it meant when I first started to learn about it. And in fact, the more I looked into it, the more I realized that we've actually been doing a lot of this for a few years already without realizing. It's just we haven't labeled it DevOps. So to me, one of the things that I wanted to address was us being able to turn around our deliveries quite quickly. So we've been doing Agile for a few years. That had proved very well. So we use Scrum and Kanban most of the time. And this was very good at us being able to turn around the requirements of the users quick enough for them to be able to see the benefit straight away. One of the constraints we had was we sort of needed to go a little bit further than what Scrum provided us to be able to do that quickly. And that's where DevOps came in. So creating a better relationship between the development team and the operations team, creating a change of culture about how we think about how we develop and deliver applications was really important for us to do.
Yeah, I think one of the key deliverables of DevOps is the continuous development and deployment, right? So shorten the really go-to-market is the key delivery for DevOps. And I think that really fits well in your environment, because time is such an essence in this line of work. So what are the lessons you can provide us? What's the best practices?
So I think important things to succeed in DevOps is there's quite a few areas I think that we had to focus on. So firstly was streamlining our agile process, which we'd done very well. Another thing was to make sure that we as a development team were providing the things that the operations guys needed for them to be able to support our applications properly. So, you know, there's this age-old thing when you talk about dev teams and operations teams about, you know, there's always a little bit of rivalry between them. And, you know, the way that I saw it was that our dev team, what we want to do is we wanted to create software and applications quickly to keep the users happy, because that's what it was our job to do. Yet the ops guys were like, well, hang on a minute, Nate, we want to protect the production environment. That's what they needed to do to keep the users happy. So our ultimate end goal was the same thing. It's just the way that we thought that we needed to go about that was quite different. So it's a bit of a culture change on both sides. So for example, on operations, they've relaxed some of the controls that they put in place. So, you know, we've got access to some of our environments that historically we didn't have access to. We can do things like we can take production copies of our databases and restore them to any other environment or to our local machines without having to involve a DBA, for example. So they can spend time doing things that are more exciting for them and sort of less repeatable, mundane things. So we script an awful lot of things. We've made it so our applications have adequate reporting in, so when something goes wrong, the operations guys can kind of diagnose the issues and hopefully fix them without having to come to us unless it's a bug. So I think it's been quite a good learning experience on both sides.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So going forward, what's coming next?
A big thing that I've spent the last few months looking at is automating our releases. So last year we had a guy, he was our release manager, and it was his job to release the software to our staging and production environments. So he was part of, he was sort of the guy in the middle between the dev and the ops teams, if you like. When he left, I had a little bit of a rethink and thought, well, actually, I don't think we should replace this guy like for like. I wanted us to be able to release software in an automated fashion without having to have somebody sit there and actually copy these files there, put this installer here, update a text file, all of those kinds of things. So I've spent the last few months learning to use some release management tools, which the one that we've chosen is Release Management, which is part of Team Foundation Server. And we use that with a series of PowerShell scripts that have been written. So my background as a developer and my sort of history of understanding about how infrastructure and operations works made me think, well, I want to learn how to write PowerShell. So it's one of the tools that I've been using, which is what we use now for our releases. So and I'm also trying to encourage the ops guys to start learning PowerShell as well. And they're starting to use it and they're starting to love it. So us developers are thinking a bit more about operations, and the operations guys are starting to write scripts and code. So they're thinking a bit more like developers, which is good.
Wow. So it's release management, automation, and I heard PowerShell. Yeah. That's really exciting, because for IT Pro, hey, you know, we live and breathe with PowerShell. So next time when I see a Formula One racing, I realize, you know what, some of those cars, particularly the Lotus Formula One team, their cars, Actually, PowerShell contribute to it. That's fascinating.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mark, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and we definitely want you to come back at some other time to tell us more about the progress, the development, the achievement that you guys have for Lotus Formula One team. Thank you so very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
Well, folks, for all your IT professionals out there, this is a true story. Lotus Formula One team, check out their website and find out their story and share their story with your community. And before I leave, I want to thank Mark for contributing to this episode. I want to thank our producer, Chris Caldwell, to make this look so nice, make me look so good. So thank you very much. And until next time, this is Yang Chou signing off.